about to hear. The views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
I'm former Vice President Joe Biden. The Philip D. Blackman Show is going to kick me in the nuts tonight because I suck as a president. Enjoy the show as I try to remember who shit in my pants.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Happy hump day. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're all happy, well, and blessed. Welcome to the episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour in radio, episode number 299. Politicizing political violence. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for carving out a piece of your Wednesday to be with us as we cover this show. We're going to kind of really talk about the this whole thing about Paul Pelosi and everything going on with it. So almost everyone can agree at some point that senseless acts of violence, they're unacceptable. And our nation, law and order, there's no room for political violence anywhere. However, there's equally less room, I think, for political violence or for politicizing violence and alienating a segment, an entire segment of American voters just because of one. You know, one person does not represent all of us, but yet we're still seeing, we're still seeing a lot of hate going at these at a segment of our country. But since the horrible attack on Paul Pelosi, there have been an unbelievable amount of finger pointing and conspiracy theories offered to advance this political talking point. It all needs to stop. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be discussing the politicization of violence and the known details of the brutal attack on Paul Pelosi, because I do think it is worth some scrutiny. Now, guys, before we get our show started, as always, we are live up and running right now on Facebook, over here on Facebook at YouTube and at LinkedIn at the Philip D. Blackman Show. If you're Twitter or Twitch, then you can find us over there at the PDB Show. Just find our handles, subscribe, share these videos, and help us get the word out that we're trying to bring back some sense of normalcy. Now, if you want to participate, if you want to join the show, guys, I always tell folks, man, you can call the show or you can text the number on my screen at 409-245-9753. So again, to my listeners across the airwaves, that is 409-245-9753. Guys, thank you so much for joining. To all my listeners across the nation, around the globe, welcome to episode 299, Politicizing Violence. So for my first time listeners, you know, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show, End of Watch, as a way of honoring our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Last year, 650 officers died in the line of duty, and as of this show, we've lost 193. If you ever go check out the Officer Down Memorial page, odmp.org, you'll see a line in there that we can't help but agree. It was a moving line, and I've said it ever since I've read it, that when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer, it's an entire nation. We honor all of our officers who serve, you know, or who have served honorably. And we highlight, we honor officers for this show, specifically those who have died while giving their lives in service to their community and their country. We highlight different officer every week, beginning with our Monday show. This week, friends, we're going to honor London, Kentucky Police Department Officer Logan K. Medlock in this opening segment. End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Officer Logan Medlock
26 of the London Police Department in Kentucky, who was killed on October 30, 2022, when his patrol car was struck by a drunk driver. Officer Medlock served his department with honor for 4 years. London Police Officer James Williams, who joined the academy with Officer Medlock, said in a statement, "He was always willing to help people. He was motivated and dedicated to protecting the public. Being a police officer is all he wanted to be, what he was meant to be." Officer Medlock is survived by his wife and son. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Officer Medlock. London Police Officer Logan Medlock. End of watch, October 30th, 2022. Rest in peace, officer.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work and she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah! Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, again, ladies and gentlemen, episode 299. Now, before we get this show started, I want to put out some laundry that I want to make sure that we get, very clear. First and foremost, this show does not ever condone violence. Now, look, I've made the comment on our show talking about our nation's history. If we had citizens who disagreed with their political, the members of their political party, with their politicians, they drag them out in the street, beat the shit out of them, give them a good case of get right, and put them back to work. But that was a different time. And here we are, 2022. It seems like we're still along those lines. I just cannot wrap my mind around this idea that we got to be violent, especially unprovoked. Just because someone has a different ideology than you, it's completely disgusting when we want to fight someone, we want to hurt someone, but just because they think differently, because they believe differently. I mean, I do believe at times that violence is justified. And what I'm talking about is the types of violence I'm talking about is justified is the violence that is the violence that's to defend your family, that's to defend your loved ones. So to all of you guys who are joining in, and I see you in the chat, guys, welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, look, we're not going to be doing our 300th episode this Friday. We're actually going to wait till Monday. We have our veteran hunt coming up, and I'll be out in the woods hunting with our veterans on this Friday. So that will be, that'll be why we will not be bringing you episode number 300 on then, but we will have a rerun running. Haven't decided which one. If you have any ideas for which shows that I've covered in the past that you'd like to see again, man, drop me a line. I'd love to put something out there that you guys are wanting to watch. Now look, radicals on the left, as we're seeing right now in our country, if you've been paying attention since last Friday, man, they're accusing the Republican Party, Republican voters, people who support anyone other than the narrative. Radicals are accusing all of them of fomenting violence. Even though President Donald Trump, here's an example, he called on his January 6th supporters to peacefully and patriotically protest. I would show the video, but every time I do, it gets taken down. But leftists, they paint the former president and all of his supporters as crazy, violent extremists. Joe Biden did the exact same thing. Remember, MAGA Republicans are the extremists. And it's unbelievable just how far we've come that we're demonizing an entire voting sect as ultra-white, nationalist, MAGA, racist, xenophobic, Islamophobic. I mean, any type of phobic they can throw out there, especially as we start getting here Tuesday, we have our midterm elections coming through, and they're doing everything they can to set it up and make everyone feel that if you're not on their side, if you're not supporting their, if you're not supporting their narrative, then you are a violent extremist. I really want to make the argument here though, during this show that, perhaps I believe that maybe they should start looking at their own sides. You know, instead of worrying about what everyone else is doing, hey, man, worry about what yourself doing. Instead of demonizing everyone, why don't you just take a moment, look in the mirror, and take a look at your side. I mean, in a recent segment on MSNBC, it was unbelievable. There's the host. Her name was Tiffany Cross. She said that people on the political left need to, quote, pick up a weapon and get involved in the war for American democracy, which she suggested was under the threat by Republicans. Now, I hate that type of verbiage, because I'm going to tell you something. As someone who has been to war, these people who talk about it often don't understand what it is. But here's what I'm talking about. Check this out.
But this is a war. This isn't a battle. And we absolutely will win this war.
It is a war. It is indeed a war. And I have to say, they have won some battles, Jasmine, but we have to keep our eye on the war, and everybody needs to pick up a weapon and get involved, because this is for the.
This is a war. I mean, yeah, hey, Dale, I see you, man. Tiffany Cross is a moron, and Joy Reid and the rest of the jackwagons over on the liberal left. It's unbelievable. They talk about it's a war. It's a war. It's not a war. It is not a war. Now it very well, there are some strong disagreements, strongly opinionated people, but it disturbs me when people start using war language to describe something that is not even war, because that diminishes what it truly is. If you call everything a war, is anything a war? Just like if you call everything racist, is anything racist? It's unbelievable. I mean, Representative Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, these people called for an uprising across the country in 2018. Maxine Waters went so far as to call for violence against Republican Congress people. I'll show you the video where she said the American people have put up with this president long enough. If you see somebody from that cabinet in a restaurant, at a department store, at a gasoline station, you go, you create a crowd. That's what she'd say. You push back on them. You let them know they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. And I'll show you that clip. It's disturbing that we've been hearing about this for Jesus Christ on a crutch. We've been hearing about this for a couple of decades, but just in the last, we'll call it what, 6 years, 7 years, we're seeing the change. You know, Roxanne Kirby says, send them to the Far East and let them see what war really is. That's, you know, hey, look, I'm going to tell you something. As a combat veteran, I don't wish war on anyone. That is something that I think is Napoleon Bonaparte that said that the man grows oldest on the battlefield, and because it does, it takes years off your life. And so to use that type of verbiage, it's disgusting. Dale says, I promise you that they want to use the other to wage war on their behalf, and they're absolutely doing so. Laura Harlow says the desperation is palpable. And again, I agree across the board. So far, you guys are lighting it up here. Dale says most of these left news organizations, man, what happened to my voice? He says most of these left news organizations will not fight the war they push. They'll use brainwashed people to fight them for us, usually people who are not from affluent areas. But, you know, I digress. Who can forget 2022 when the leftist mobs descended on major American cities and caused billions of dollars worth of damage and dozens of deaths? I mean, here's the truth. Rational, everyday Americans from both sides of the aisle, let's be honest, they want to live their life in peace. They don't want war. They don't want drama. They don't want hate. They don't want violence. They're concerned that extremists are actually starting to ratchet up the rhetoric until it really spills over into an actual no shit war. And then they're going to hide behind the very police that they're trying to defund. But, you know, fortunately, the founders of this great nation, and it is a great nation, they gave us a solution to this exact problem. I haven't heard any commentators so far talk about this solution. I think it's very, it's something that our politics that our right-minded, our dedicated people who don't want to see what we have going on, who really truly want to change the status quo, there is a solution. Our founders have given it to us. It's called Article 5 of the Constitution. It's the only permanent and peaceful way to limit the power of the federal government and really to ease and cool the tensions of our country. I mean, most of that political tension that we're seeing, it's caused by the all-powerful government in D.C. If you think that this country is not founded on war, on blood, I mean, think about everything that we've ever declared war on, to war on drugs, war on racism, war on homosexuality, war on terror. I mean, all these pseudo wars that we give these labels. If we don't like something, we declare war on it. And yet most Americans don't support that notion. Article 5, you know, because the president, Congress, and the Supreme Court, they can change the face of our country in a single day. And we saw it. January the 20th of 2021. This country immediately went through a transformation in one day at the stroke of a pen about 60 times through executive orders. Americans from both sides, they're concerned about the other side taking over because they're very political in mind. They're very stuck in their right and everyone else is wrong. It's all black and white. There is no gray. They're so concerned, in fact, that they're really willing to consider violence to keep the other side from winning. Now, we're not talking about the crazies like Tiffany Cross I just showed you. We're talking about normal, hardworking Americans who fear that escalating tensions in our country is going to result in actual violence. You know, it's a damn shame, you know, being a veteran, to hear someone like my wife say that she gets nervous, you know, that she doesn't feel free when she leaves her house because of everything that's going on. I mean, people are getting carjacked. People don't care anymore. People are getting assaulted in broad daylight because they don't care. They know there is not going to be any single entity that's going to hold them accountable as long as they're on the right side of voting. You know, Dale says right here, man, war sucks ass. As an Air Force guy, my damn convoy was hit with an IED. There's nothing glorious about it. And there is not. There, man, it just absolutely stinks. But back to Article 5 of the Constitution. All right. Article 5 Convention of the States, it can de-escalate any tension by returning the decision-making power where it belongs, where it should always have belonged, with the states and with the people. Not the federal government, but the states are the ones who should have the problem. By proposing a constitutional amendments that limit the federal power, a convention of states, they can put everyday Americans like you and I back in control of our country's future. That way they can really just stop worrying about the next civil war and just get back to the hard work of local self-governance. When the National School Boards Association didn't like parents showing up at school board meetings to complain about the radical left-wing agenda, it colluded with the White House and sent a letter to Merrick Garland to shut parents down who dare complain about the leftist curricula. And Garland dutifully sent out a letter to prosecutors throughout the country targeting those parents and essentially treating them as domestic terrorists for disagreeing with policy decisions. Anybody who claims that Garland is apolitical and treats everyone equally, they are lying to you. They are lying to mislead the public. In 2012, Barack Obama and Joe Biden, they didn't like their political opponents in the Tea Party. You remember? They wanted to shut them down. Biden even compared them back then, the Tea Party movement, he compared them to domestic terrorists. And then the swamp creatures over at the IRS, they denied tax-exempt status, obstructed justice. They lied to Congress. They destroyed documents and devices. These swamp creatures in the Justice Department, they then decided that the IRS criminals were above the law. In 2014, Michael Brown, remember that guy, hands up, don't shoot, Ferguson, Missouri? He robbed a store and then he reached into a cop car and tried to take a police officer's gun. The race of the gentleman don't matter, but if you're interested, if you forgot, Michael Brown was a black teenager, a very large damn black teenager, and the police officer was a, well, he was a white cop. Now, I guess the gun is supposed to equal the size, but at any rate, the cop shot and killed Michael Brown. And immediately, the false narrative, we saw it in the NFL especially, hands up, don't shoot. That's when it appeared. And that's where I feel like we started really ginning up that racial hate and that violence. We didn't see the FBI director, the attorney general, or the media tell people to soften their rhetoric. No. And 5 years after the hands up, don't shoot, the narrative was determined to be a lie. Kamala Harris and Pocahontas Warren, they were still spreading lies to gin up hate and violence, yet Twitter didn't shut them down. The media didn't lecture them that they were inciting violence. There was no impeachment proceedings. Congressional Democrats, they protested the 2016 election. There were violent riots, and nobody seemed to care. There were no hearings. There were no investigations. There were no raids, no arrests, no confiscations of phones or anything else. Nobody cared. The media didn't call the Democrats election deniers, and they didn't lecture the Democrats that they were inciting violence. In 2020, violent riots, they were going on nationwide after George Floyd. And cops were being killed, and they were being maimed. Harris and other politicians, they kept egging them on. We didn't see the lectures for her or others to shut their mouths, no. And we had people pretending to be fact checkers that even covered the leftists who were inciting the violence. In 2020, the media and the Democrats, they knew that some states violated their election laws, but they claimed that the election was cleaner than ever. And they did it with a straight face. Anyone who dared challenge the election results, you're called an election denier. Donald Trump said, march peacefully and patriotically and make your voices heard. The media and other Democrats said that he was inciting violence. They impeached him on the matter even after he left office. In 2022, Democrats ratcheted up their rhetoric against the Supreme Court justices. Then there were protests outside their homes. There was an assassination attempt on Justice Kavanaugh. And pro-life centers were repeatedly attacked violently, even still today. The media still has yet to tell them to tone down their violence. Christopher Wray, Merrick Garland, they didn't warn about the rhetoric. There were no raids, no hearings, no confiscation of phones to see the rhetoric. There seems to be very little interest in prosecuting people who are destroying pro-life centers, just as there was little interest in prosecuting the leftist protesters destroying cities all over 2020. Essentially, nobody cares because they're all on the same side. Basically, Republicans are always going to be accused of inciting violence by the media, and they'll always be targeted by the politicized Justice Department. Meanwhile, we have the Democrats. They can say whatever they want, do whatever they want, and they will always show just how above the law they really are. You know, Democrats and their fellow travelers, they pounced right into this Paul Pelosi attack. Now, look, not concentrating on Paul Pelosi or his health, but trying to somehow attack Republicans who had absolutely nothing to do with the event. I will say it right here, right now, what happened to Paul Pelosi is horrific. It's horrible. It should have never happened. And I hate that it did happen. You know, Joe Biden wants, what's even worse is our commander in chief, Joe Biden. He actually said that he wants Nancy to reach out there and take care of Bobby Pelosi as he recovers. That it's not a mistake. I know his name is Paul Pelosi. I don't think Joe Biden does. The great thinker himself.
I've been on the phone with Nancy, arranged for her to be able to get from Washington out to see her husband, Bobby. That's where she's in the plane now, heading out there.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because he always sounds like he's a little bit drunk. Maybe he's hammered. Who knows? But Joe Biden, he's made some very troubling comments on this subject of Paul Pelosi's attack. He blamed questioning the 2020 election for an unwell man who attacked House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband. He says, quote, this talk produces violence. And so what'd he do? He called for the end of the talk.
The election was not real, that it's being stolen, that all all the malarkey that's being put out there to undermine democracy. You can't just apologize and say the violence. It affects people's mentality. It affects how people think, particularly people who are not maybe as stable as other people. So the talk has to stop. That's the problem. You can't just say, I feel badly about the violence. We condemn it. Condemn what produces the violence. And this talk produces the violence.
Now, if you're part of my radio audience, I have a worldwide radio audience tuned into my show right now. And if you're part of the social media audience and you didn't really understand because I didn't have subtitles up because of what his audio said, it's a little distorted by the background noise. This is what he said. I went back and I wrote it down. He says, quote, the election was not real. It's been stolen. All the malarkey that's being put out there to undermine democracy, you just can't apologize and say the violence. He said that it affects people's mentality. It affects how people think, particularly people who may not be as stable as other people. So the talk has to stop. That's the problem. You can't just say you feel bad about the violence and condemn it. Condemn what produces the violence, end quote. But if you pay attention to what he's saying in that 36-second video clip, he throws it out there, you know, that people who may not be as stable as other people, he's letting you know that maybe there is more to it, but maybe that's a Freudian slip. I mean, instead of blaming, and Roxanne Kirby says talk, it's part of the First Amendment. I know, Roxanne, but unfortunately, it's talk that if they disagree with it, then you are guilty of hate speech. So instead of blaming the actual criminal himself for the crime that he committed or even the likely mental illness that is associated with this, there's no evidence of that just yet. But, man, who in their right mind attacks an 82-year-old grandfather with a hammer? And I'm going to get into what happened at Paul Pelosi's residence here shortly. But, you know, it's unbelievable. You know, he's blaming that thought and speech, saying no one should ever question an election and that the talk should be stopped. He's calling for open censorship. And it's the same error with how they blame the gun rather than the criminal. And it's very troubling anti-speech and a thought reaction to suppress anything other than the narrative. All right, so K-Height420 says, anytime you bring up the violence directed at the right, the Democrats, and add some qualifier, and they can always spin it under the guise of fighting for my rights. Durr. Hey, you know what? K-Height420, man, that's a brilliant observation. I really appreciate that because you're right. But I, you know, again, if we're being fair, we have to suggest that, look, have Republicans got a little loose with their lips? Absolutely. I've worked really hard to try to find it. Now I've seen political ads where there's been some suggestions, but man, I've never seen anyone more like the Democratic Party right now who's actually coming out like you're saying right here, sir or madam. I'm sorry, your gender isn't listed in your name, so I mean no disrespect, but sir, ma'am, what you're saying is absolutely right. There's always some type of qualifier why they're doing it. They think that violence is always justified as long as it meets their 1+1. But, you know, it's also not to mention that Joe Biden, he don't even know what the motivation or all the facts are. None of us do. I mean, the police haven't laid that out, which has opened the door for a lot of conspiracy theories. And Joe Biden is part of that, jumping on without all the facts. Surprise, right? I mean, if Biden wants to go there, as he looked at his own Democrats in the history of the election denial, that's at least two decades long. Hey, I appreciate it. K-Height420 in chat says pronouns are patriot and American, but I'm a guy. Well, right on, sir. I'm not a pronoun guy, but I don't want to, you know, I'm a polite person. So always try to call him sir or ma'am as a courtesy, because I mean, respect is always given anytime that I have the opportunity to give it. Roxanne Kirby says they think their excuse is all they need. And man, both of y'all are dead on balls, right? I believe you. I believe everything you're saying, but Joe Biden wants to go there. I mean, truly the history of election denial is at least two decades long. He's forgotten all that, but where is his condemnation of that? I mean, any of it? I mean, should we talk about the questioning of the 2016 election? maybe the false Russia collusion hoax, aided directly by the Clinton team and a false dossier? I mean, should we talk about all the Democratic election deniers of 2016 calling Donald Trump an illegitimate president to include Joe Biden himself? Where's the condemnation of all that and how much that truly hurt our country, how much it truly divided our country? Where's the condemnation of all the violence against Trump supporters and GOP officials just because of the leftist rhetoric? Have they forgotten the attack on Rand Paul in 2020 by protesters? I mean, how about the rioting during Trump's inauguration in 2017, the rioting outside the White House in 2020? If you'll recall, when that happened in 2020, the Democrats and their supporters, they laughed at the Secret Service that they had to rush Donald Trump to a bunker because they were concerned about his safety. Where was the condemnation of that threat to democracy? I mean, shall we talk about the threat or harassment or violence that Dems have directed against Trump and Trump supporters?
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
You know, that's the rhetoric we're talking about. That again, as let's see, I just saw it. My goodness, in the chats right here, Laura Harlow, she hits it right here. She says, "I hate this crap. People should be impeached, canceled, sent to jail, something." Absolutely, but nothing. I mean, if they can impeach a president after he's left office, then damn it, they should be able to hit him when they're currently serving in office. Tammy says in the chat, she says, "And they say that the right embraces and encourages violence. Kiss my ass. Okay for me, but not for thee. Amen." But, you know, even more so, I mean, this slide right here, you know, this was the reaction of Nancy Pelosi's daughter. Her name is Christine Pelosi. The younger Pelosi's reaction right here when she says Rand Paul's neighbor was right. It was a reference when Rand Paul's Bowling Green neighbor, Rene Boucher, was charged with assaulting a member of Congress after attacking Rand Paul while he was mowing his yard about 2 years ago. Senator Paul suffered 5 broken ribs as a result and required surgery to have part of his lung removed. However, Republican Senator Rand Paul, who's been a repeated victim of violent political attacks, he's actually taking the high road. He's showing, leading from the front. He says, "I'm wishing Pelosi a speedy recovery." And he issued a statement of well wishes on Twitter, despite Pelosi's daughter previously saying that he deserved to have his ribs broken by a leftist neighbor back in 2018. But let's not forget about Joe Biden's demonizing of millions of MAGA Republicans, because that's the new threat to democracy, right? Putting a target on their backs, calling them a threat to democracy because they vote different than him. I mean, shortly after Joe Biden's primetime speech, there was a teenager who was run over and killed, allegedly by a man who claimed that he thought the teenager was a Republican extremist. Will Joe Biden be condemning himself for this conversation we just had? I mean, I think we all know the answer. Laura Demi says the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I see. And absolutely right. And that's kind of the hypocrisy is what makes it so frustrating. Well, guys, I want you to stick around through this commercial break. We're going to come back and we're going to actually examine the known facts of Paul Pelosi and the of this attack and the facts of the incident that we have as of right now, in hopes to dispel some of the conspiracy theories surrounding that horrible attack. Guys, we're going to take about a 90-second break. Stick around, and we'll be back with you on the other side.
This election, your choice couldn't be more important. Our candidate is in flattering lighting and full bright color. Their candidate is in grainy high contrast black and white, spotted through a telephoto lens from behind a bush, coming back from God only knows where. Our guy points at the horizon and holds a baby. Their guy doesn't have a baby. Their guy has a golf club. The voiceover for our guy is calm, measured, bright. Their guy gets the lower register. And sometimes we slow down. Our guy has clean headlines and the beautiful lens flare America needs. Here's a scary graph over a photo of their guy awkwardly laughing. Snap zoom. Do you want a snap zoom like that in office? Here's a photo of our guy saluting military veterans. Jump cuts, flashes, static, aggressive colors. You can't trust a guy with graphics like this. Our guy gets stock footage of sunrises and an American flag. Their guy's flag is upside down and on fire. Intercut with overdue bills, war, and a crying baby. Our guy gets doctors and astronauts and stimulus checks. Flatline, an eagle, hurricane, the Statue of Liberty. Crime scene tape, Ronald Reagan. A girl running in a wheat field to escape a dangerous sexual predator. Wielding atomic bomb. This election, the choice is yours. Their guy or our guy. Inspiring slogan.
You know, the elections, again, they're, you know, just coming up this next Tuesday. And if you've been watching the news, you've been seeing a lot of political ads paid for by whatever political party there is. And that commercial, that it's a spoof, I get it, but the idea still remains. I mean, it's all political. It's all decisive. But leading politicians, since Paul Pelosi's attack, man, they blamed immediately the political right for the brutal attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul. You know, Joe Biden said that this is despicable, and he noted the alleged attacker, David DePape, 42-year-old, he shouted the same line, "Where's Nancy?" And that's all in the reports, that when he was looking for Nancy Pelosi, when he approached Paul Pelosi, he asked that question, "Where's Nancy?" Well, Joe Biden did his best, and he said, "Well, hey, that's the same line that supporters of Donald Trump who stormed the Capitol on January the 6th. He says, and what makes us think that one party can talk about stolen elections, COVID being a hoax, it's all a bunch of lies. Well, I think he would understand because he's kind of the ringleader so far. I mean, California political leaders agreed. They said that, quote, this heinous assault is just another example of the dangerous consequences of the divisive and hateful rhetoric that's putting lives at risk and undermining our very democracy and democratic institutions. That come from Gavin Newsom, the guy who will probably abuse his power, his state power to shut his state down much longer than he had to. Scott Weiner said that this attack is terrifying and the direct result of toxic right-wing rhetoric. And crazy enough, journalists en masse, and we'll call them journalists, we need air quotes for the show, so journalists, en masse, they agreed with their assessment that DePape appears to have made racist and often rambling posts online that come from the Associated Press in a report just this morning that encapsulated the media narrative, that including some that questioned the results of the 2020 election, defended former President Donald Trump, and even echoed QAnon conspiracy theories. You know, the October 8th attack on Paul Pelosi, again, horrific. It's abhorrent. And I don't support it at all. I mean, again, this is somebody's granddad. You know, but this attack it sparked a whole lot of questions and a whole lot of theories about the circumstances surrounding the violent attack that could have been dispelled very easily. You know, anytime that we have any type of issue in our country, especially one that's very political, to help citizens understand the reality of what happened, typically they release that body cam footage almost immediately. The San Francisco Police Department hasn't, and that's created a lot of questions around this attack. So let's cover what we know about some of the questions that need to be answered in this segment, The Breakdown. All right, if you've been living under a rock, October 28th, this past Friday morning, a dispatcher received a 911 call from Mr. Paul Pelosi. He's on the left of the screen. His attacker is on the right. Paul Pelosi, 82 years old, and they suggest that he was talking in code to let this 911 operator know that an intruder was in his home. Now, San Francisco PD was sent to the home to perform a wellness check around 2:30, depending on where you get it, local time, and that's according to the police. So there's a criminal complaint that was filed by the FBI agent Stephanie Miner, and it sheds some light on the sequence of events that bring forward a lot of new information, but also raises more questions. The complaint references the one SFPD officer with Paul Pelosi and David DePape. Now, it also details efforts to determine DePape's residence. San Francisco officer Colby Wilms, I think it was his name, he essentially stated that his statement and essentially it conforms with what's been reported, but it conveniently leaves out any description of the first question. Who opened the door? You know, right here is the federal complaint that has been issued, and in the complaint, it actually lays out, quote, at 2:31 a.m., San Francisco Police Department Officer Colby Wilms responded to the Pelosi residence, California, and knocked on the front door. When the door was open, Pelosi and DePape were both holding a hammer with one hand. DePape had his other hand holding onto Pelosi's forearm. Pelosi greeted the officers, and the officers asked what's going on. And, of course, DePape responded that everything was good. Well, then the officers actually commanded DePape, hey, drop the hammer. And apparently they weren't in the home yet. Just if we're looking at the narrative that's presented in this complaint form, it actually says right here that DePape pulled a hammer from Pelosi's hand and swung the hammer, striking Paul in the head. Officers immediately went inside and were able to restrain DePape. While officers were restraining DePape, Pelosi appeared unconscious on the ground. So that line right there, the fact that after he struck Pelosi, says right here, the officers went in to restrain him. Why wouldn't they already in the building? Again, these are just questions, but I'm just giving you what we know so far. There was one witness who actually saw DePape who walked in, out walking on the street, and he entered into Pelosi's home, and he was a private security officer who was keeping watch at a different home. He says right here, quote, SFPD officer Colby Wilms was able to interview witness one is what he's identified as, who saw an individual in all black carrying a large black bag on his back walking near the Pelosi residence where witness one was parked. Witness one was working private security to an address nearby. When witness one heard what was sounded like banging on either a door or a car, and then he heard the sirens within a minute or two. Now, so that right there, I want to go ahead and hit that. That's going to dispel. It should dispel, you know, based off the content that the attacker was not in his underwear as has been reported on the news. K420 says in the chat, and just like that, Paul's DUI and Nancy's insider trading disappears. That is very interesting. That's kind of one of the things that Tammy and I were talking about. You know, what does this mean? Is this going to go away just because they feel sorry for him? I mean, Paul Pelosi, he was able to speak to officers when he was in the ambulance, and he said that he'd never seen DePape again, or he'd never seen DePape before. Excuse me. Says, quote, Pelosi stated that he'd never seen DePape before. Pelosi was asleep when DePape came into Pelosi's bedroom and stated that he wanted to talk to Nancy. When Pelosi told him that Nancy was not there, DePape stated that he would just sit and wait, and Pelosi stated that his wife would not be home for several days, and then DePape reiterated that he would wait. Pelosi was able to go into the bathroom, which is where he was able to call 911. Pelosi stated when the officers arrived that was when DePape struck him with the hammer. Now, I have a problem with this piece of the narrative, and this is why it bothers me. If you've ever tried to go through shatterproof glass or even double pane glass, man, that's a lot of noise. If witness one, as we saw in the previous slide, could hear it from where he was parked on the road, how did Paul Pelosi not hear that in his room? It even said that DePape is actually the one who woke. He entered the building, or he entered the residence. He went to the second floor and woke up Paul Pelosi. I guess Paul Pelosi can probably be the only person who could be confused or could be considered as getting hammered twice in the same night, but I digress. Something's not adding up. It definitely bothers me just a little bit. I got to be honest with you. Tammy says in the chat, she says, I'm still stumped as to why security was unaware of what was going on. Bashing in that window was not quiet business. Where were they? These are all questions. And again, Tammy, I really believe that that releasing body cam footage, being more transparent, would probably help answer some of these questions that we're raising tonight, and what, probably some of the questions that you have and so many other Americans have. But it's crickets. So why? And the question, yeah, I mean, if you've ever tried to wake somebody up who's sleeping, you know, I'm not going to make any assertions that are not there. But I mean, the only thing that would tell me that he was passed out and he didn't hear all this stuff going on, man, that tells me he was under medication, maybe under alcohol. Regardless, it doesn't make sense that someone can beat the hell out of a door, break a window, come in the house, obviously not trying to be quiet at all. And there it is. How did he not hear that? Roxanne Kirby says they will turn inside out before they give information freely. And I think I think we may actually start to hear something, hopefully, Roxanne, after the midterm elections. I will argue that maybe this right here is something to generate. Maybe that ain't what it started out as, but maybe this is what they're using it to generate sympathy for the Democratic Party and old Nancy Pelosi Pelosi. But even more so, the assailant, DePape, he told authorities that he broke into the house through a glass door using a hammer. He woke Paul Pelosi up in his bedroom, and that's all according to the affidavit. He said the speaker's husband appeared surprised, and he added that he told Paul to wake up and he was going to go look for the speaker. Now, upon discovering that Nancy was not in the house, DePape, he mused about using zip ties to restrain him, but during a conversation, somehow, Paul managed to slip into the bathroom, according to the FBI affidavit, and use a phone that was charging in the bathroom. Who does that? I mean, this almost seems like a Hollywood script to me. I'm not going to subscribe to any conspiracies, but man, there's a lot of this story that doesn't make sense. And if you have an opinion, 409-245-9753 is the number right there on the screen, or chime in on the chat and we'll do what we can to address these conversations. But initially, the affidavit says that Paul Pelosi attempted to get access to the elevator in his house. He has an elevator in his house, but which is equipped with a phone, but it was blocked, and he managed to get to the bathroom at some point after to make a call to police. And that statement right there come from the San Francisco DA, Brooke Jenkins. Now, Paul also told the officer that DePape had a hammer with him and that the hammer didn't belong to the Pelosis, which I can believe that. I mean, I can't imagine these two folks have ever had a hard day in their life. I can't imagine they would even know how to use a hammer. Assault hammers is what they'll be called now. But after being Mirandized, DePape gave a very interesting narrative to the investigators of what he planned to do to Nancy that might actually explain the presence of the hammer. Now, the emphasis, the bold is my emphasis, but in the affidavit, it says that DePape stated that he was going to hold Nancy hostage and talk to her. Very January 60, right? These insurrectionists run into the Capitol and all carrying zip ties. What are they carrying them for? They wasn't going to talk, but I digress. The affidavit says that if Nancy were to tell DePape the truth, once he spoke to her, he'd let her go. Now, if she lied, he was going to break her kneecaps. Now, DePape was certain that Nancy would not have told the truth. And in the course of the interview, DePape articulated that he viewed Nancy as the leader of the pack of lies that are told by the Democratic Party. DePape also later explained that by breaking Nancy's kneecaps, She would then have to be wheeled into Congress, which would show other members of Congress there are consequences to their actions. That is gangster. But DePape also explained generally that he wanted to use Nancy to lure other people to DePape. Now, given the fact that this is San Francisco, you know, it is entirely possible that the by viewing Nancy as the leader of the pack of lies as told by the Democratic Party, that maybe he's viewing her as not radical or liberal enough. I think it's a fair question. Again, we have questions, and that's what we're doing, but it's that last sentence is curious. What other individual did DePape want that for Nancy to lure for him? I mean, although a lot of people have speculated that the glass door at the back of the house is broken from the inside, I even read one where a guy said he'd been working burglar investigations for 30 years and he'd never seen glass on the outside of a broken residence. I don't know. I'd love to go talk to that guy because that's horse shit on a rope, and you know it is. But he told investigators, DePape actually told investigators that he did it from the outside. Then when he got tired, he wanted to tie Paul up so he could sleep. In the statement, it says DePape stated that he broke into the house through a glass door, which was a difficult task that required the use of a hammer. By the way, that's somehow Paul managed to sleep through. DePape stated that Pelosi was in bed and appeared surprised by DePape, and he told Pelosi to wake up. He told Pelosi that he was looking for Nancy, and Pelosi responded that she was not present. Pelosi asked how they could resolve the situation, what DePape wanted to do, and he stated that he wanted to tie Paul Pelosi up so that DePape could go to sleep because he was tired from having to carry that heavy-ass backpack to the Pelosi residence. Around this time, according to DePape, DePape started taking out twist ties from his pocket so that he could restrain Pelosi. He moved towards another part of the house, but DePape stopped him, and together they went back to the bedroom. This is almost sounding like an erotic tale, right? But DePape, you know, though he says that he was the one, because we asked that question, he was the one who answered the door when the San Francisco PD showed up to the house. But the remaining statements from DePape, they don't really seem to come from a person of logical thinking. Now, here it says that that DePape remembered that there was no way the police were going to forget about the phone call. DePape explained that he didn't leave after Pelosi's call to 911 because, much like the American founding fathers with the British, he was fighting against tyranny without the option of surrender. DePape reiterated his sentiment elsewhere in the interview. DePape stated that he went downstairs to the front door. The police arrived and knocked on the door. Pelosi ran over and opened it. Wait a minute. You just said that he said he did it. But Pelosi grabbed onto DePape's hammer, which was in his hand. And at this point in the interview, DePape repeated that he did not plan to surrender and that he would go through Pelosi. DePape stated that he pulled the hammer away from Pelosi and swung the hammer towards him. DePape explained that Pelosi's actions resulted in Pelosi taking the punishment instead. You know, again, I'm going to suggest that these statements that he has given, it doesn't really seem like it's come from a logical thinking person. Who talks like this? Because like the American founding fathers with the British, he was fighting against tyranny without the option of surrender. Get out of here. You know, the David DePape, the 42-year-old, by the way, he's an illegal immigrant. Let's not dismiss or gloss over that. As of right now, he's facing a lot of federal charges. And, Laura, you bring up a good point. I guess security goes with Nancy. And according to the statements that are released, that is exactly the case, that security does go with Nancy. But I don't want to get sidetracked. But he's being charged right now to include attempted murder, residential burglary, assault with a deadly weapon, elder abuse, false imprisonment of an elder, threats to a public official and her family. Now, as a result, Paul Pelosi, unfortunately, he suffered a fracture to his skull and serious injuries to his right arm and his hand, which required immediate surgery. He was transported to the hospital following the attack, and he underwent surgery to repair his skull fracture, but he's expected to make a full recovery. Right on, sir. I'm glad to hear that. San Francisco Police Chief Bill Scott, he said that there was an ongoing investigation of the motive of attack, but he emphasized this wasn't a random act of violence. It was not random. It was intentional, and it's wrong. And prosecutors even provided new details on this incident when they levied a flurry of criminal charges against DePape just this past Monday. But Paul Pelosi, he was interviewed by investigators over the weekend, and according to sources who told CNN where I read it. Right? Now, officials also interviewed DePapin, according to the criminal complaint filed in the U.S. District Court for the North District of California. But again, there's a lot of questions. Before the criminal complaint was released, police provided very limited details on the nature of the attack. And that's the problem. I don't understand why this would not be highly transparent. But some of the details, as we know, they have escaped through the cracks. And the dispatcher has been identified as Heather Grimes and told police that the caller, Pelosi, said that he didn't know the man, but also said that, quote, his name was David, and then said that he's a friend, end quote. Now, maybe that's the code language they're talking about. I don't know him, but he's a friend named David, and he's here. You know, maybe that's what it is. But Grimes said that Pelosi, he seems somewhat confused, and in her opinion, per the LA Times. Now, multiple reports have stated that DePapin infiltrated the home through a sliding glass door in the back of the house and brought zip ties with him. If you've seen the video footage, there's no sliding glass door, French doors, but hey, I'm somewhere along the lines, these reports of a sliding glass door appeared. The intruder also allegedly asked, where's Nancy, during the break-in, and he sought to restrain Paul while waiting for Nancy. You know, the break-in itself has prompted a lot of different questions related to the security. And to hit Roxanne's point, you know, Roxanne says, sounds like someone told him what to say. Lars says, I don't know what that is. An addle brained drunk under the influence, maybe. Roxanne says, 5% left on her tablet, maybe you'll make it. Hopefully you do. We'll try to keep it quick. But there's a lot of questions about the security for members of Congress and their families. Now, look, while the Speaker Pelosi, while she has Capitol security in a detail, Paul Pelosi, her spouse, doesn't have the same protections from Capitol Police or any other government agency when he's not with Nancy. Now, it's really unclear how DePape managed to enter the home anyway without raising any kind of alarm or if the home had any additional home security beyond Nancy's Capitol Police security detail, but which, by the way, was with her in D.C. at the time of the attack. But you almost got to know that with all the threats and all the attacks that are going on, all the rhetoric that's going against attacking our political leaders, especially the third in line for the presidency in the event that the president, vice president die, you would think that her house would at least have an alarm system be monitored. And it was. And reports have come out that said that it was actually monitored by Capitol Police. They just missed it. But the attack had sparked concern among lawmakers, and we're seeing it, for the safety of themselves and their families. Capitol Police have reported back in May of 2021 that threats against lawmakers increased about 70%, or excuse me, 107% since the January 6th insurrection compared to the year before. Now, last July, and this is the part where I'm confused. Last July, Congress approved $2.1 billion in supplemental emergency spending that went on to increase security on Capitol Hill, as well as making security improvements and helping maintain a police presence. Paul Pelosi, by all accounts, Paul and Nancy evidence has come out that these two turds have constantly participated in insider trading. They are worth millions and millions of dollars, and yet you're telling me they didn't think to have security. Tammy says that I read the Capitol Police had surveillance cameras and they were watching during the attack. I'm thinking, Tammy, it might be the same Capitol Police officers who were also the prison guards for Jeffrey Epstein when he killed himself. But, you know, who's to know? I mean, Washington Representative Pramila Jayapal, you know, she told Washington Post that a lot of lawmakers have wanted security for their families for a long time, but it's been a challenge because those arrangements must be approved during the appropriations process by both sides of the aisle. Now, whether or not this attack is going to prompt Congress to request more funds to Capitol Police instead of their pet projects or even install security details for members of families, it remains to be seen. But missing details about what happened on the night of the attack, they've left room for a lot of conspiracy theories to develop with, you know, some of these theories, you know, they've been debunked as false. I mean, and some of them, you just have to look at them and be like, yeah, I can't believe somebody's running with it. But one of the more notable conspiracy theories that drew my attention, and it began to catch a lot of other people's attention, especially after, Elon Musk, he tweeted a link to a blog post where, you know, speculating about the attack. And the link that he had, the article, It was published on a site that's known. I mean, it is a conspiracy website that stated DePape was a sex worker that was hired by Pelosi, but there's not been any evidence to support that, evidence or proof to support that. So we got to be careful with what we're saying, that this is what it is, because only speak on what you know. I mean, the conspiracy theory of Pelosi and DePape's relationship, it spread like wildfire after news organization Fox News. They spoke on the air about an incorrect report that they got from a media outlet, which is KTVU. So the organization, they originally stated that DePape and Pelosi were found in their underwear when police arrived on the scene. And it circulated wildly, of course, and right-wing personalities started promoting the theory. But, however, the radio, the television station issued a correction stating that they, in the article, that they, quote, misstated the clothing or what clothing the subject was wearing when the officers found him. Okay, hey, 420 in the chat says, apparently Sixth was the greatest threat to American democracy, and Congress people were so scared for their lives. What's their solution? No security. That, you know, and that's kind of I think that's the joke that I'm making without actually making it, right? Because all we heard and all we've been hearing since January the 6th, 2021, is these insurrectionists and threat to security. And even Joe Biden, his soul of a nation, talked about MAGA Republicans being a threat to democracy. If there's all these threats, I mean, come on. I've worked with the Secret Service. I know the planning that goes in. Every threat is taken seriously. And when you have politicians, especially who have received credible threats, man, we put a detail on them. But again, we're talking about the third in line for the presidency, of the House Speaker, and only she had her detail, but her husband. I mean, can you imagine what kind of leverage someone could have if they were to kidnap a husband of the House Speaker? What kind of leverage they'd have to get what, you know, this whole idea of we don't negotiate with terrorists would go away really, really fast if this man had been successful in getting Pelosi kidnapped. Now, Roxanne Kirby says second in line. Kamala is the first in line behind Biden. Piglosi is the second. Well, I say third in line because you got Joe Biden himself, followed by the vice president, followed by the House Speaker. That's my count. We're kind of doing the same count. So I'm with you. I see your point. But there's another conspiracy theory that stated that there was a third unknown person that opened the door for the police when they arrived, which came from the comments made by the officers at Friday's press conference that were reported by Politico. They reported by Politico what happened. But the police, they clarified over the weekend that there was not a third person and that the only ones in the home were Pelosi and DePape. Now, the popular theory involved the manner which DePape allegedly entered the house. Some individuals actually promoted the idea that there was more glass on the outside than the inside. However, in videos shared by CBS's Face the Nation I watched this morning, there's a large amount of glass. And you, if you look, good Lord, you can see there's a lot of glass on both sides of the broken window. So move on. I mean, he told officers and medics at the scene that he was sick. DePape, you know, he told officers and the medics at the scene that he was sick of the lies coming out of D.C. He said that he didn't really want to hurt Paul Pelosi, but, you know, this was a suicide mission. I'm not going to stand there and do nothing, even if it cost my life. And I think that says a lot here. And the reason why it says a lot is because people are getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. They are tired of being lied to. They're tired of their politicians. I am not condoning it, but I understand. People are getting tired. They're getting desperate. They're losing money. They're losing their families. They're losing their business. They're losing their livelihoods. That's your average person. This guy here was a homeless drug addict, you know, but still, I don't condone it, but I understand it. He allegedly said that he had other targets, including a local professor, several prominent state federal politicians, as well as members of their families as well. Now, so David DePape is an interesting character in all this. And this is kind of what makes it just a little bit more loony. David DePape, by all accounts, he's a nudist activist in the Bay Area, and that's according to media reports. And he's maintained a blog somewhere where he espoused baseless conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. The media and the pandemic ranted about the ruling class. Again, if he made a post questioning the election, he is an election conspiracy theorist, and he's dangerous because he disagrees with the narrative. Again, it's not what you know, it's what you can prove in the court of law. And in this case here, because there's a lot of people out there who think the 2020 election was stolen, they just don't have any proof to support it. I did a show directly after it and after the election, and I showed the videos, and I got in a lot of trouble for it, but they exist. This is what happens when transparency isn't there. I mean, unlike presidents, you know, congressional leaders, they have a security protection that's only for themselves. You know, Nancy, again, she was in D.C. at the time of the attack. She had her security with her, but the husband in California didn't. I mean, it's really, truly unclear whether the Pelosi home has an alarm system or surveillance cameras working at the time of the attack, as far as their internal. But reports have come out today that the Capitol Police actually saw the flashing lights, which is the police lights at the Pelosi residence. They went back and they saw everything that was happening. That residence had security. They had video. Why has that video not been released? Because the Capitol Police missed it. The security detail that's in charge of protecting Nancy Pelosi, they missed it like they missed it in January the 6th. And look what happened. I mean, it's inside the command center for the Capitol Police. An officer actually discovered the attack on cameras that were used to monitor that home, and they were installed 8 years ago. I guess 8 years is a long time for complacency to set in, so they just didn't look at it. All right, so Laura Harlow says, I'm thankful you showed those videos. Shame on your – it's a shame your show had to take a hit because of them. Well, you know what, I'm looking forward to probably showing a replay on that. K-Hype420 says, I enjoy your opinions on these topics. Need more sane voices like you on the mainstream news. Much love from South Dakota. Man, it is great to know that I've got somebody from South Dakota. When I worked with the Secret Service, I spent a little time in Pierre, South Dakota. Beautiful area, beautiful state. Thank you so much, sir, for tuning in. Roxanne Kirby says, if he was in bed, who let him in? Well, a hammer let him in, Roxanne. He used a hammer to break the door or to break the glass, you know, reaching to unlock, and he was able to walk in. Laura Harlow says, me too. Phil is great. Well, thank you so much. I try to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, cotton candy, nose hair trimmers in the pyramids, but hey, we do it. Laura says, and he spanks both sides when they need it. I try to be an equal opportunity offender, but apparently, and this is the part where it gets interesting, because remember the narrative is painted that, David DePape is a right wing extremist, but apparently, in this video right here, or in this picture right here, he was camping full time in a dilapidated school bus, complete with a gay pride flag out in the front and a sign that reads Berkeley stands against hate. And behind the bus hangs a BLM banner. Now, just in that optic alone, how many white right-wing extremists support BLM, support gay pride? I mean, if you're talking about right-wing extremism, then those are the people who hate gay folks. They're the people who hate black folks. These are people who hate. But yet, David DePape was camping out in this school bus with these pieces of flair, gay pride flag, Berkeley stands against hate, as he goes in to allegedly break into the speaker's house and to promote Black Lives Matter. I mean, politically, this picture could not be clearer. I mean, you know where this guy stands. DePape was, in fact, a well-known guy in the area, the entire Bay Area. He was known as a hallucinogenic drug enthusiast and a semi-professional nudist. He appeared at nudist theme events. I mean, does DePape have a prior criminal history? I mean, that's an obvious question and perhaps a relevant one, but we can't answer it because, once again, authorities in San Francisco have refused to tell us or anybody anything. We know the people around David DePape believe that he was completely deranged. There's interviews out there of his neighbor's girlfriend, the ones who knew him best, they thought that he was deranged. The San Francisco Chronicle, they interviewed his ex-girlfriend and reported that DePape was mentally ill. He struggled with drugs. You know, for example, she reported that he once thought that he was Jesus for a year, and he's never been able to hold a job. She said that he's been homeless. This person really does suffer from mental illness, and that's probably why he was there at 2 a.m. She goes on to describe him as, quote, a broken child in an adult body with serious mental problems. But wait, he can't have mental problems. He's a right-wing extremist. He's a MAGA Republican. He don't have mental problems. The only problems he has is hate. So are we going to start seeing Are we going to start seeing calls for people who go to Home Depot to buy a hammer? Now they need a background check because, you know, we got to keep the mental people with mental problems out of the hardware aisle. I mean, DePape, you know, his neighbors who would actually know, they said more or less the same thing. So really, it's just another homeless, mentally ill drug addict with the fondness of Black Lives Matter. I mean, that's not like quite so unusual in San Francisco. Oh, and there's one other highly surprising or unsurprising thing about David DePape. He's an illegal alien. So to restate, the perpetrator of this violent crime against Paul Pelosi is mentally ill. Drug-addicted, illegal alien nudist who takes hallucinogens and lives in a hippie school bus in Berkeley with a BLM banner and a pride flag out front. Take those uncontested facts and just let it bounce around in your head for a minute. You're going to recognize that there's going to be a pattern that emerges. I mean, what does it sound like to you? If you guess that this is obviously a textbook case of homegrown right-wing extremism, well, then obviously you've been watching a lot of cable news. You know, the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, the mentally ill, homeless, illegal alien drug addict who lives in a painted school bus in Berkeley with the BLM flag is actually, despite all appearances, just another member of Donald Trump's QAnon army. I mean, a CNN commentator, David Axelrod, who's probably one of the biggest morons that I've ever, you know, seen, and I've seen a lot of them on the news, you know, as he put it, these far-right conspiracy theorists are to blame here. And, of course, Jen Rubin, Washington Post, she accused the right-wing Republicans of inciting violence against the Pelosi family using this illegal alien, homeless guy on drugs. MSNBC's banner said the far-right demonized Pelosi, and that led to the attack. But on what grounds other than political desperation are they saying stupid stuff like this? I mean, according to some reports, a homeless, mentally ill drug addict, drug-addicted illegal alien, David DePape, somehow maintained a website with right-wing conspiracy content on them. Now, one of these sites is apparently called friendlyfriends.com. It's the same strange thing about this website that the website addresses for, you know, it was registered for back in September, but there's content on that site that's backdated to August, and the Internet Archiving Services didn't register any content from that blog. Apparently, David DePape's blog until October the 28th, the day that David DePape attacked Paul Pelosi. How weird, right? All right, so K-Hype420 says, I'm from Pierre, but now I live in Rapid City. Again, beautiful state. It's cold as shit there. that's why I'm happy to be in Texas. You know, that here's the thing, you know, and if we're being honest, and Tammy, I appreciate your comment right there because you're absolutely, you know, and this is for everyone, whether you agree with me or you don't. She welcomes the group. Welcome to the group, KH420. We are a family in this chat. We are. I support everyone. I love everyone's opinion. Even if I don't agree with it, I love it. I honor it, and I do everything I can to try to find some type of discourse, right? We need to be more consistent in our conversations. Just because we disagree don't mean we have to be enemies, and we don't have to call each other bad names. We can just say, all right, let's debate the issue. And if we can't have an impasse, then hey, we hang up the phone very, very respectfully. Again, that's why I always tell people 409-245-9753. That's my number. If you disagree with what I'm saying, there's the number. Or you can write in the chat. I will always do. I don't catch every comment, but I do everything I can to try to keep up with them. And I want to address everyone. I never ever want to leave anyone feeling like they're left behind because someone has to bring some sanity to the conversation. I've been doing this 299 episodes, man. I'm on 300. Normally my shows are every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5:00 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm not doing a show this Friday because I have an engagement with some disabled veterans, but 300, man, that's going to be on Monday. Tune in, man. We're going to do, that should be a very interesting show. And he goes on to say, hey, thank you, Tammy. Happy to be here. And thank you, Laura, man. Thank you all for being civil in our conversations. Now, every day in America, a mentally ill homeless person attacks someone every day. That is not hyperbole. That is fact. Every day that happens. Just because it happened to Paul Pelosi, it's publicized. Why? Because he's a big figure. I get it. There's a lot of things to talk about in this big figure, but what happened on the 28th isn't anything new. Paul Pelosi just happened to find his way in it. But here's even the crazier part. San Francisco, California used to be one of the most beautiful cities in America. And Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, who's been in politics, you know, Jesus, most of my life. This lady, this is her district, and it's run down. It's homeless encampments, drugs, crime, just everything bad is happening. So it was just a matter of time before someone prominent in San Francisco got bit by the environment that they created. I mean, that's all I've been able to really find throughout the internet, which if you've ever done any research for a paper or for a show or something like that, it takes a whole lot of effort to determine the wheat from the chaff, because every article that's written has a strong political bias. And they, you know, a lot of the opinion pieces are opinion pieces that come out with absolutely zero factual basis. It's, you know, for the most part, a lot of it is conspiracy. But the best information I relied on for this show, for this segment here, was the complaint that was filed in court. But regardless of how you feel about Nancy Pelosi, Kevin McCarthy, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, political violence should always be condemned swiftly and deliberately. I'm not condoning this behavior at all. Like I said, I understand it, but I'm not condoning it. I mean, if you remove all the political labels, at the end of the day, Paul Pelosi is an 82-year-old husband. He's an 82-year-old father. He's an 82-year-old grandfather to someone. I mean, before anybody starts celebrating this horrible event, I want you to think about this. If this was your 82-year-old loved one who got attacked by someone half of his age, man, it's just wrong. It should never happen to any politician or any person who's serving their country or even to their family members. You know, politicians should be held accountable for their actions in a nation where politicians are not held accountable ever. And this is just a matter of time before people are just sick and tired of being sick and tired. But again, just because I'm saying it was a matter of time, it doesn't mean that I'm applauding it. I mean, Steve Scalise, Rand Paul, and so many other politicians, they have been attacked. They've been attacked for their political dealings. It's never okay. If we want this stuff to stop, we got to tone down the rhetoric on both sides of the aisle and hold each other accountable. And that's the breakdown. Guys, I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come to our last segment. So give me about 90 seconds. Two commercials, and we will be back with you as we get ready to wrap up this show with one final thing.
Since I was born, I dreamed of being a Budweiser Clydesdale. Only problem is, I was born a donkey. So all my life, I practiced the Clydesdale walk and the Clydesdale pull. I even tried hair extensions on my lower legs. And then came my big interview. They looked me in the eye and said, "What makes you think you can be a Clydesdale, son?" And what was my answer? I must have said something, right?
Suspicious Fansville by Dr. Pepper.
Howdy, Logan. Wonder if you can help me out with something.
Sure, Sheriff.
Looking for a couple of goalposts. Went missing after the big win last night.
What? That's awful. Who would steal a goalpost?
Say, that is a nice new swing set you got there.
Oh, this old thing. It makes the boy happy, I guess.
Interesting design.
Oh, yeah, it's Scandinavian. You know what? You should check the streakers across the street. They have a very suspicious new antenna.
Thanks for the tip.
Anytime, Sheriff.
Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
You know, the brazen attack on Paul Pelosi, otherwise known as Hammer Time, man, is the most frightening aspect of this Halloween, his holiday season, right? I mean, it'd be more even more appropriate to maybe liken it to something like Groundhog Day, since these types of assaults and the shameful politicization that comes from both sides, they continue to reoccur. It's time, I think, for grownups to stand up and take charge. But sadly, most of what we're seeing are these self-absorbed, bratty-ass adolescents masquerading as leaders, or like my wife says, toddlers posing as adults. But until that changes, man, there's going to be the vicious cycle that's only going to continue with subsequent acts of aggression, followed by more partisan rhetoric, and most of it which casts blames on all of the wrong people. Here's a look at the attack on Paul Pelosi and what needs to change in this segment, The Breakdown. I'm trying to do the show again. I just called it The Break. That's one final thing this last segment. All right, so here it is, guys. We wrap up the show. I want to leave you with a final thought. You know, first and foremost, the responsibility for this assault, it rests solely with David DePape. That's it. The extremist rhetoric and the far-out conspiracy theories, they're culpable in ratcheting up some people's emotions, but those who commit criminal acts on their own, they do so of their own volition. You know, America's become a nation that really eschews the personal responsibility in favor of the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. I mean, if we're ever going to right this ship, accountability, it must once again be front and center in how we conduct our lives, how we treat each other. It's unfathomable. It's mind-blowing, actually, that Pelosi didn't have 24/7 protection for several reasons. First, not only is his wife a top congressional leader, but as a Speaker of the House, she's third in line for the presidency. Depends on who's counting. Could be second, but... And that bears repeating. In the event the president and the vice president are incapacitated simultaneously, the House Speaker would immediately assume the world's most powerful position. How does that not merit protection for the Speaker's spouse is beyond comprehension. I mean, ironically, that failure, it is the fault of Congress itself. Again, not our fault. Yeah, it is. I mean, the legislative branch is the one who allocates every penny spent in America. Instead of putting it on things like this that matter, security, if you don't want to secure the border, that's fine. Well, it's not fine, but you would think that they would take their own security into account when they're trying to pass these pet projects. Why not throw some security in there? You're willing to give billions of dollars to a freaking country in a war that we have no business even entertaining or financing for that matter. All these pet projects, all these other things, these favors you're doing, all this money that you're spending free will, why don't you spend it on yourself? I mean, the legislative branch advocates every penny spent. So what that means is the Congress doesn't need anybody's permission to fund a security detail. I mean, the cost certainly can't be an issue since Congress passed and president has spent about $31 trillion more than the government's brought into its coffers. But the big question is, how much would it cost, dollars and otherwise, if top leaders' spouses were killed or even kidnapped? Remember that in many aspects, the primary job of the Secret Service is to protect the president from being kidnapped. Is anyone doing so would be considerably greater leverage than simply just assassinating the American leader. The same idea applies to the Speaker's spouse, which circles back to the questions why Congress really has not acted in the best interest of its own leaders, their spouses, and even the nation. That should tell you right there, they don't care about the nation. They just care about themselves. But second, it's no secret that America finds itself in one of the most bitterly partisan times in our history. It's a situation that's amplified by frenzy-whipping social media. I mean, given that and the instant availability of information such as where leaders live, I mean, it's increasingly likely that extremists on both sides as well as deranged nonpartisan individuals, they're going to continue to act in very threatening ways. But third, this January 6th attack that we're hearing about once again, you know, where some were seeking out Vice President Republican Mike Pence and Democrat Speaker Nancy Pelosi for more than just a chat, it should have been the final impetus indeed to increase security across the board. So if January the 6th is the worst thing since Pearl Harbor, 9/11, Oklahoma City bombing, terrorist events that's happened in our country where a whole lot of people have died, as opposed to January 6th, where one person died during January the 6th, Ashley Babbitt. Sorry, but she had it coming. I will always say that. You know, if they were so concerned, why didn't they, where is their security? I mean, one thing's for certain. Blaming anybody other than the attacker themselves is giving the perpetrator a free pass. Yet that's exactly what some have done. Republicans didn't commit the unspeakable crime against Paul Pelosi, who fractured his skull with a hammer. No. And the election deniers and the conspiracy theorists, you know, off base as their beliefs are, they're not responsible for enabling the attacker either. All culpability lies with the person who chose to break into the Pelosi home and commence his assault. And to state otherwise, it's a red herring that deflects from asking the tough questions and looking in the mirror. Constructive dialogue has no place for those absolving criminals and of total responsibility. But that's what we've been doing. I mean, you know, you got to figure, even in San Francisco, you know, the bail reform, right? Criminals will get arrested, no bail. They'll get out so they can commit a crime the very same day. But you bet your ass David DePape will never see freedom ever again, even though even though he struck Paul Pelosi in the head, allegedly in front of two police officers, it was a witnessed attack. He admitted to it. You know, this is almost kind of, this is almost kind of JFK-ish, right? I mean, everything, there's just, all this evidence is so perfect, right? It just makes me wonder why we're not being equal across the board, why we're not holding it true. I mean, the hypocrisy that we're witnessing right now, these agenda-driven political leaders and the media commentators, they know absolutely no bounds. You watch what happens. If the Republicans do take the House and the Senate, if it happens, there's going to be riots. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be calls for hate. There's going to be more division. And it's just going to be unbelievable chaos if the Republicans take both sides. I mean, these are the very same people who preach that politicization of tragic events, they got to stop. Every time a tragedy happens, they say, well, we can't politicize this or that. It has to stop. But yet, contending that doing so, it ratchets up tensions that's going to lead to more violence, they still turn and politicize it themselves. I mean, some want to pretend that the extremist right has a monopoly on political violence and intimidation. 2020, I'd almost argue that there wasn't a whole lot of people on the right out there. You know, it doesn't, but it certainly owns an inevitable track record, you know, highlighted again by January 6th Capitol attack. That was a riot, not an insurrection. Words matter. Now, granted, this should never be a tit-for-tat affair, you know, a whataboutism where one side can be proud that their ideologues committed fewer acts of aggression than the other side. But to ignore the radicals on the left, it's both disingenuous and it's dangerous. You know, let's not forget the Republican congressman and minority whip at the time, Steve Scalise. He was shot and seriously wounded during a congressional baseball practice in 2007. Or the attempted assassination of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Or the continued swatting of Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, swatting is a crime where the caller lies to the police that a serious crime is being committed in the target's home in the hopes of creating a potentially violent confrontation between unwitting police and an unsuspecting homeowner. Or providing information about the children of conservative Supreme Court justice, such as where they live, where they attend school, where they go to church. Maybe even harassing Republican officials so aggressively that they're forced to leave public places like restaurants. Or maybe we shouldn't talk about the assault, the verbal and otherwise, of the Democratic mayor of Portland, Todd Wheeler, by protesters who appear to be anything but Republican. The video of that counter, look it up, Todd Wheeler, Portland, Oregon. Look up that attack. It's must-see TV, right? I'm going to argue, and I'm going to leave you with this. To break the cycle of extremism, we got to refresh the values that made America so unique: tolerance and civility. And we got to extend those traits on to our children. But that change cannot and will not start with political leaders. It must begin with us. I mean, ironically, the same people who'd be telling the world their life story via a car bumper, they graduated college, vacation in Nantucket, they did Disney, they love Pomeranians, they break for squirrels, they hate guns, they support the troops, they save the whales, and they have a brainiac middle school honor student. They won't give others the time of day in the elevator or a coffee shop. No hello, no God bless you, no good morning, nothing. How can we expect our leaders to be respectful when we really don't exhibit that same virtue ourselves? As Michael Douglas' character said in the American President, he said that we have problems to solve. We have serious problems to solve. We need serious people to solve them. And as we the people, it's time to get started. Mr. Pelosi, get well soon, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thank you so much for tuning into our show that seeks not only to provide that middle ground analysis, but remain consistent to the inconvenient truth that so many people refuse to see. Both sides are guilty, and both of y'all need to knock this shit off. It is enough already. We are getting tired. So until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service. Thank you so much for your patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like yourself, our country would be a very different place. We're the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos is knocking on the door. It's going to be up to us to answer that door and punch it right in the mouth. I'm not so much just talking about political violence. I'm talking about we got to shut it down. We got to stomp it down. We got to yell it down. Let's use the same practice that the left has been doing to the right for a long time. If they disagree with something, man, just shout it down. because it needs to stop. The only way we're going to stop this political violence, you know, you heard in the opening video where Madonna said, well, I have thought about blowing up the White House. Maybe when she's not blowing every other musical artist. Oh, that's right. She's changed meat, so to speak. You know, don't let your dog tags down in the dirt, friends. Stay on your feet and you continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, you thank a veteran. If you love your peace, you thank a police officer. And if you see a first responder, give them a high five and a handshake and tell them job well done. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. Catch me again every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, this Friday, we're going to be running a replay. Y'all need to shoot me a message. Let me know what you want to see because we do have a prior engagement. We will be doing episode number 300 on Monday. Mental Health Monday, guys. It will be a great show. To each and every one of you who have chimed in, thank you so much for your kind words. Thank you so much for your kudos. Thank you so much for supporting my show. Guys, share the word, spread the knowledge, and let them know that someone out here is trying to hold the line. My name is Philip Blackman. Y'all take care of yourselves. I'm out.